Lord, thank you that Richard does not need to rely on his own wisdom, because he's already full of your wisdom and your presence. Lord, I pray that whatever you want to say to each of us tonight, that we would hear it really clearly. Lord, that Richard would, through his words, he would speak to each of our hearts. And it would be like he's just speaking to each individual here this evening. Lord, thank you that you have prepared us and prepared Richard for tonight when you wrote those words so long ago. Lord, come and open our hearts to hear what you want to tell us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lizzie, you star. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you. Well, when those parables were being read, I thought that I knew exactly what Jesus was saying. I had seen it for myself. I truly had seen it for myself. Last autumn, I hope you're not too bored about a bit of a gardening illustration, but I was so fed up with my front lawn. I don't know if you ever looked at it. My front lawn was all moss. I was so completely fed up with it that I needed to do something. So I raked it all up hard. I got my really went for it, got it all up, and got down to bare earth, hard bare earth. I had no time to do anything else, so I just looked at it and thought, I'll just chuck some seed on that and hope for the best. I had some old grass seed. I mean, seriously, old grass seed. I had about 10 years, done nothing with it. And I threw it down. It looked a bit like this. It was bare earth, seed chucked on it. And I looked at it and thought, well, I hope that's going to be okay. I've no idea. I've no idea. I thought, you know, because I'd seen the men in the building work and they'd done all that sort of raking and faffing about and watering it in. And all I did was look at it and thought, I've got no time. Chucked it down and left it. And but you know, verse 27 of Mark chapter 4, page 1006, look it up. It says, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. That's about me. Night or day, whether I got up or slept, the seed sprouted and grew. Too right it does. It looks like this now. That's the photograph I took on Friday morning of our lawn. Yeah? Believe me, it really does look better than the photograph gives it justification. But it's amazing. I haven't done anything to it. I chucked a load of seed down on hard, bare earth. And that has happened in a few months. Okay. It's not grown like the mustard seed, which apparently grow to 3 metres high. Need John to stand up. John, could you stand up? Be very jolly. That's about half a mustard seed tree. All right. Thank you, John. It grew without my help. Remember that? It grew without my help. I did nothing to it. I didn't even water it. It grew. I left it alone. If I keep leaving it alone, it's one day it's going to grow to about half a metre in height, actually. By the way, if I just leave it, but I won't do that. Jesus tells us seven parables about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. By the way, both phrases are sort of interchangeable in the New Testament. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, interchangeable phraseology. And they use the thing. There's the parable of the sower, there's the parable of the hidden treasure, the parable of the pearl, the parable of the growing seed, the parable of the mustard seed, and the parable of yeast. And we're going to look at the growing seed and the mustard seed. And they are both, as you probably worked out by the title, they're about growth. They're about growth. And it's extraordinary, the growth, because the growth is both incomprehensible and insignificant. Have you got that? Incomprehensible and insignificant. But that's our God, by the way. Not that he's incomprehensible and insignificant. It's the ways of God can sometimes be incomprehensible. We just don't understand how things can happen, but they do. You know, divine miracles just occur. Turn of a circumstance just happens. Something inexplicable changes somebody's mind. I've seen all these happen. It is incomprehensible, but it is the way of God. When there seems to be no way out, God seems to provide a way out when we trust him. When our backs are against the wall, spiritually speaking, he turns up. It's incomprehensible. And it's also, in a sense, insignificant. And I think this is God as well, actually. Here he is, almighty, all-powerful, the almighty, all-powerful God, yes, but he seems to take the simple, the unimportant, the trivial, and frankly, brings about amazing changes. Think of the past. Think a little bit. How about Moses? Moses, raise your staff over the Red Sea, Moses, and it divides. Joshua, walk around Jericho 7 times, and the walls will fall down. Elijah, you eat the woman's last meal. It's a drought situation, the famine. You eat the woman's last meal, and the jar will never run out. What about Mary, an unknown young girl? And you will give birth to the Son of God. What about Peter? Peter, the fisherman. And you will become the leader of my worldwide church. Incomprehensible, insignificant people, insignificant actions change the world. So the kingdom of God, let's have a look about this. The kingdom of God, incomprehensible and insignificant. In all these parables, and especially all the parables about the kingdom of God, but especially these two, the kingdom of God comes silently, steadily, and surely. Whether you like it or not. We think that kingdoms mean grand and glorious, don't we? You know, I don't know, surely we're talking about shimmering mountain peaks or crimson sunsets or opulent rulers or glorified sportsmen and women, yeah? But Jesus describes the kingdom of God as being like a seed, which in itself is incomprehensible, isn't it? And insignificant. A tiny seed, it's incomprehensible, isn't it? How on earth does this turn into this? How does that acorn become that? Insignificant too, because, and you look at a seed and you hold it in your hand, it's lifeless, isn't it? It's dry, but it becomes living. This is really good news, isn't it? Jesus likens the kingdom of God to seeds. To the commonplace, by the way. Whoops, the commonplace. God isn't remote. He's not at some celestial arm's length. He's not some sort of high and lofty God we can't get anywhere near. He's near us. He's present with us. He's right there in the routines of your life. He's right there in the outworking of nature, in the planting and the harvesting, the going to work, the doing the job, the administration, the talk, the discussion, the meeting, the classroom teacher. It's all of God. It's how God does his plans, isn't it? God is almighty and all powerful, but he does it in ways that aren't necessarily spectacular, and they're not attention seeking. They may not even seem remarkable at the time. So think about this. The growing seed. The first parable, page 1006. The parable of the growing seed. It's incomprehensible, isn't it? Now, I think it's a chilling story, but often we don't think of it like this. There's a chilling story that you know all too well in the Bible. Just about everybody, well, everybody here, but just about everybody in our nation even knows this story in the Bible. The story of Noah. Men and women are judged by God as being utterly depraved and wicked. And God determines to save Noah, his wife, and his family of 3 sons and their wives in order to start again. It's incomprehensible, isn't it, at one level? Genesis 6 says this, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. And the kingdom of God is going to work itself out in Noah building a boat. Utterly incomprehensible, isn't it? Utterly incomprehensible to Noah in one sense, but utterly incomprehensible to his neighbours. Jesus is going to reflect on this story himself. In Matthew 24, Jesus says these words. He says, for in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And Noah's prompted by God actions, well, they're incomprehensible, weren't they? They were incomprehensible to those around him because night and day, whether they slept or woke, Noah got up and got on with the task assigned to him. And his neighbours? Well, they thought of him as foolish. They saw him as being quite incomprehensible. What the heck are you up to, building a massive boat in a landlocked country? The power of the kingdom of God is here, you know, because it will surely happen. We may not understand why that in burying a seed and watering it, that it leads to the growth of a plant. Think of my front lawn. Just chucked the seed down. Didn't even bury them. Just threw them down. Left them there. 6 months later, I've got a lawn. It's incomprehensible, isn't it? But it happens. What's the role of the man in the story of the parable of the growing seed? His role is to scatter the seed. You might think about that as just living for God, sharing the good news of Jesus by word, by deed, by thought. And he's also, his job is to harvest the seed. It's a reminder of judgment, actually. All else is God's work. Between the throwing down of the seed to the harvesting, all that is the work of God, and it is incomprehensible, but it will surely happen. It will surely happen. The kingdom of God will grow whether you like it or not, whether you partner with God or not, whether you get on the divine bus, so to speak, or you stand at the stop and stare as it goes off into the distance and leaves you behind. The kingdom of God comes silently, not like thunder and lightning across the sky. The kingdom of God is not forced, not going to be forced like a revolution, you know. The zealots of Jesus' day thought if they could bring it about by a revolution. It's not going to come either, this kingdom of God, by us legally observing all the laws of God and just being more and more determined to do that. That's what the Pharisees were trying to do in the time of Jesus. The incomprehensible kingdom of God shatters all human categories, formulas, plans and agendas. It will surely happen as the scattered seed sprouts, grows and produces a harvest. What about the parable of the mustard seed? It's insignificant, isn't it? Greta Thunberg is like that mustard seed, isn't she? Just think about it. When she started her climate change protest, she was 15 outside her Swedish school. Day one. Utterly insignificant. Not even on the radar of her local people, really. 18 months later, she has addressed the United Nations in New York, the Global Climate Conference in Madrid, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Who would have believed that 18 months ago? Well, I want to tell you the kingdom of God is like that too. Totally insignificant to just about everyone. Small and irrelevant as a mustard seed. And I know the clever ones among you would tell me there are smaller seeds than mustard seeds, and that's true, but this is just a proverb, okay? Small as a mustard seed is a proverb. But the kingdom of God grows into something huge. You remember that? Like a mustard tree grows 3 meters tall, one of the largest garden plants. It offers shelter to birds, we're told. That's often an Old Testament understanding. So Jesus would have picked that up. The Old Testament understanding of how it welcomes in the Gentiles, welcomes in all people into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God arises from insignificance, that tiny mustard seed. Insignificant. And in time grows inescapably before us, more real than we can imagine. More grand than we can conceive. More encompassing than we can picture. Imagine if not Greta Thunberg. Imagine there were just 12 of you sitting in that upper room on the day of resurrection. How did you know that in 300 years the church would be acknowledged as the actually only one way to worship God by the Emperor of Rome? How could you believe that actually just over another 1,000 years it would touch so many countries? And even now, there's probably a believer in every single country in the world. utterly insignificant, but God is in it. You'd think, actually, wouldn't you think, that Jesus wouldn't talk about a mustard seed as being the kingdom? Well, wouldn't he talk about a cedar tree? A cedar tree? And that is a cedar. Whoops, I've gone wrong. That is a cedar tree, by the way. A cedar tree, all might and splendor? He doesn't. The mystery of the kingdom is its insignificance. I want to quote this old man. He's sadly died now. He's a famous German theologian called Helmut Thielicke, 19th century German theologian. He wrote about the kingdom of God like this. He said, "One day, perhaps when we look back from God's throne on that last day, we shall say with amazement and surprise, if I had ever dreamed when I stood at the grave of my loved ones and everything seemed to be ended, if I had ever dreamed and I saw the spectre of atomic war, we might say climate disaster, wouldn't we, creeping upon us. If I had ever dreamed and I faced the meaningless fate of an endless imprisonment or a malignant disease, if I had ever dreamed that God was only carrying out his design and plan through all these woes, that in the midst of my cares and troubles and despair, his harvest was ripening, and that everything was pressing on towards his last kingly day. If I had known this, I would have been more calm and confident. Yes, then I would have been more cheerful and far more tranquil and composed." The kingdom of God may be insignificant, but it is almighty and all-powerful. The kingdom of God will grow. It will grow enormously. It will be like a tree that breaks through concrete. Yeah, you've seen that? Unstoppable. Even the little weed that pushes through the tarmac, it is unstoppable. The kingdom of God will not stop. It may be insignificant. It may be obscure in origin, but it is powered by God Almighty, God all-powerful. Incomprehensible and insignificant, huh? Well, the kingdom of God may be both of these. But you know, I'm reminded of that old hymn. "I cannot tell why he should set his love upon the sons of men. I cannot tell why he should seek the wanderers. I cannot tell how he will win the nations. I cannot tell how all the lands will worship. But this I know, he was born of Mary. But this I know, he heals the brokenhearted. But this I know, all flesh shall see his glory. But this I know, he shall reap the harvest he has sown." Verse 27, huh? Night and day, whether we sleep or wake, God is working his purposes out. Where are you in this then, eh? Where are you in this, huh? It was in Noah's day that God's actions were seen as incomprehensible and the work of Noah completely insignificant in the life of the people at the time. It was the same in Moses' day. It's the same in Joshua's day. It's the same in Jesus' day. It's the same today. But you have a choice. You have a choice. It's not incomprehensible to those who believe, however falteringly we might believe. And it's not insignificant to those who hope, you know, however hesitantly we hope. I love it in Luke chapter 5. Jesus asks Peter to try fishing again, but on the other side of the boat. And what does Peter say? He says, "I'll do it." Or in John chapter 6, when Jesus went to feed the 5,000, a small boy brings his loaves and fishes and says, "Here, take this." Mark chapter 9, when Jesus found his disciples unable to heal a boy with an evil spirit, the Father said, "I do believe. I do believe." What does all that mean for us? You know, where God's in charge, something as tiny as a seed can become something really big and good. The smallest thing you do because you love Jesus can be really important in God's hands. Perhaps there's a person at school or at college or at work that nobody likes, hasn't got any friends. Perhaps God could nudge you to say hello to that person. Might sound like a silly, tiny idea. But if you say, "I'll do it," if you might find you end up blessing that person more than you can imagine. Incomprehensible? But I'll do it. Perhaps there's one thing you can do really well. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like running or singing or playing an instrument or writing stories or building things. Something. Where, and if you say to Jesus, here, take this. He'll help you be the best you possibly could be at it. You're going to use it in amazing ways. You think you're insignificant. Here, take this. Perhaps there's something that God is saying to you. Perhaps he's saying, hey, I want to be your God. I want to forgive you for all you've done wrong. I want to bring your life and I want it to be brought with all fullness that you can't believe. You can't believe how brilliant it's going to be. And if you think, yes, I believe, God will do as he says. He'll bring about all sorts of exciting things to you in the years ahead. It'll be incomprehensible, a little insignificant, I believe. Incomprehensible, insignificant. I cannot tell, but this I know. I'll do it. Here, take this. I do believe. A moment of quiet as you reflect on what God is saying to you tonight.